So what's happening is this is. Don't hurt yourself anymore. Reward yourself. Don't set yourself up for more emotional problems. These days, through a lot of contemplation and reading, particularly mind training teachings by His Holiness the Dalai Lama has helped me quite a lot. Geshe Langri Tapa, the 8 verses of thought transformation, has helped me quite a lot. Helped me quite a lot. The 8 verses of thought transformation has helped me tremendously. Tremendously. I take refuge in those teachings. Those are my favorite. I'll tell you why. Because I've seen my mind change. And I have a lot of reasons to be angry. I didn't have a very good childhood. I didn't have very good step-parents, very good inverted commas. I didn't have a very good childhood at all. I had a horrible childhood. I have a horrible upbringing. And I suffered quite a lot as a kid in America. A lot of abuse. I have every reason to be angry. I have every reason to be justified. And if I talk to any counselors or anybody, anywhere, most people say, yeah, poor thing. We understand why you're so angersome. But I've stopped doing that. I'll tell you why. It comes back once in a while because I hurt people that I like. I hurt people that help. And I hurt a lot of people who have a lot of potential, and I cut their potential off. So these days, my particular practice is that people who I feel, and that's subjective, have disappointed me, I go out of my way to help them. I go out of my way to assist them. And I give them things and I give them help. And sometimes it's quite hard, but I do it. Do you know why I do it? I'm not concerned whether I look good to you guys or not. I'm worried about myself. And I don't like this kind of mind that I have. And because of the Buddha's teachings, I recognize that I have that type of mind. And I recognize that that mind can change because I saw change in me. Definitely. You think, but you're a tukku, you're a Rinpoche. Yeah, I am. I am. If I say I'm not, I'm putting my gurus down and Ganden down and the oracles and the high lamas and His Holiness. I'm putting them down because they recognize me. They acknowledge me. I can't put them down, so I can't stop running around saying, well, I'm not. Although I have doubts, but anyways, I dare not, right? But there are different levels of tukkus. Some of you in here might be tukkus too, just unrecognized. My point is tukku or no tukku is not the point. The point is I'm not enlightened. So there's many steps to go. So that's my particular practice at this time. When others out of jealousy disappoint me, when others out of jealousy treat me with abuse, slander, and so on, may I suffer the defeat and offer the victory to others. When one whom I place great hope in unreasonably hurts me very badly, may I view him as my supreme teacher. It is not just words. I really, really try to apply in my life. It's not easy. But you know what? It's harder if I don't. I've come to that realization. It's not easy, but it's harder if I don't. So my guru devotion to my teachers is expressed in this way. I'm not able right now, because I'm here, to sit at their feet and wash them and massage them and cut their toenails and wash their clothes and sweep and all that. I did that for many years in the past. And to serve them food and to build their houses. I've done that too. I've actually gotten the mud and done building for their houses. I'm not able to do that. But what I'm able to do by serving my guru and my devotion to him is expressed in attacking this mind. Daily. Attacking this mind. So people ask, how can we be devoted to our lamas? How? By attacking your angry mind and by attacking your mind that doesn't want to apply effort. That's how you become devoted to your lama. And so when you do that, you find your own lama in your own heart, in your own mind. Why is that? Because our real nature is kindness. Our real nature is effort. Our real nature is clarity. So therefore, if you devote yourself to your outer lama, you find your inner lama. How do you do that? A tyrant, monster, scary, abusive, fake lama will expect physical service and will not do anything except for that. And will only want physical service or care and being taken care of. A real lama, a real guru, would want you to find your own guru in you. And they will continuously give gifts, help, talk, advice, teach, scold to help you find your own guru. How do you know if a guru is real or not, you check what they're focused on. You check what upsets them. If you didn't give them money, are they upset and they throw a BF? Or you broke your commitments. If you broke your commitments and they're very upset, they're a real guru. Then you know their priorities. So therefore, if we have a real guru, what's the purpose of a real guru? Yes, it's wonderful to get teachings for them, and we definitely need to get initiation from them, and we need to get oral transmission from them. We definitely need it, definitely. And that transmission must come from a real guru, from their guru, from their guru. It must be authentic, and they must have done their retreats and fire pujas. They have to have. And they keep up their commitments every day. They do their six-session guru yogas. They keep up their vows every day. Then they give you initiation. You need that guru. You definitely need it. There's no enlightenment without a guru. But you don't become a guru addict where everything has to be told, everything has to be given, everything has to be directed. Then that's not it. That's just dependency. We need initiation. We need teachings. We need all that from our guru. But each time we get teachings, each time we get Dharma talks, each time we do practice, each time, each year, we have to see improvement in our mind. That is guru devotion. That is real guru devotion. That is what this beautiful book is talking about. And even for us, some of us are not confirmed Buddhists in this room. It's all right. Because guru devotion, what is guru? A teacher. Someone helps us find a teacher in us. Real guru devotion is not slavishly following some lama. That can be one method to control our mind. Because there are some people at that level, they need to be told in the beginning. But that's not the objective. No. Forgive all those who have harmed you. Don't wait for death. Don't wait for a fatal disease. Don't wait for someone who have died and you have regrets. Don't go to their, don't be like in the Hollywood movies and then go to the cemetery and you're all dressed up and like Madonna, she lays on her mother's coffin and cries and blah, 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 blah. Everybody's filming her. Oh, bad karma. I love her. We're not allowed to talk about negative things about Madonna. If you do, it's bad karma. By the way, that's my rule. She's supreme. Anybody says anything about Madonna, I'm not going to teach you Dharma. No one's allowed to put her down. She's not 47, she's 27, by the way. Anyways. Oh God, I hope she sees me on YouTube and then I can get in one of her videos. Can you see me? Vogue. Vogue. And then at the end of the movie, I'll be like, Vogue. Wouldn't that be fat? Oh, Madonna. I'll do it for free. I'll get someone here to pay for my air ticket to Hollywood. I'll do it for free. Couldn't you see me in a fabulous Madonna video? Or to be called, Find Yourself. No, I think it would be more like Find a Yak. Wouldn't that be neat? Couldn't you see me? She does the Ray of Light video, and I'll be a ray of light. Couldn't you see it? That'd be so fabulous. Anyways, forgive everyone. Don't wait for that critical moment. Don't wait. I'll tell you why. You suffer. You habituate yourself. And at that critical moment, can you really let go? Do you really think you can let go at that critical moment? To forgive? To say thank you? Do you think you can let go? Can you let go now? That's what we have to achieve through Buddhist practice, through Buddhist meditation and listening to teachings. Teachings give us a method, gives us different perspective. And we need to return people's kindness. Very important to return people's kindness, to forgive people that have harmed you, and to return the kindness you have received from people who have been kind to you. People who have given you things, helped you, gave you advice, loved you, taken care of you. You must return their kindness. If you cannot physically return their kindness because they have passed away, then you must do it by your actions, by being a supreme human being. I had a lady in America. She's born in Shanghai. She immigrated to America when she was very young, and her father's a doctor. Her name is Mamie. She's a Chinese lady. She married an American Irish guy. Her name is Mamie McGee. And when I ran away from my home and I ended up in Los Angeles, I showed up at the center, just my bags, with a Jimi Hendrix t-shirt on, with a choker, and I was scruffy. And I wanted to learn the Dharma. And Mamie looked at me and she said, what do you want to do with yourself? I said, I want to take ordination later. I want to go to India. I want to join the monastery. I didn't look like that at all. Nobody would believe me anyways. She believed me. Geshe-la believed me too. And Mamie said, oh. And she used to give me advice. She talked to me 2-3 hours a day. Wonderful lady. A lot of Dharma. She's one of Lama Yeshe's original students. She's one of the original group and sponsors that invited Lama Yeshe, this great being, to America. One of them. She's in her mid-70s now. She's visited Malaysia twice. Some of you have met her. In case, I don't know about how you feel about her, but she was great to me. I call her all the time. In any case, she was my mentor. She was my hero, besides my teacher. And I remember one time, the center, because of financial constrictions, was moving away. Tipton Dajini was moving away to another part of town that was quite far from where I was working. And it was very difficult because the buses take hours. And so I said to Mamie that I can't move with the center. And I can't, I want to, but I can't move. She said, why? I said, I don't have transport. She goes, why don't you get transport? I said, I don't have money. I really didn't. I was not making a lot of money. I was 16, 17, not making a lot of money at all. We're working with Photomat, developing pictures. Not even the developer. I was just taking it in, giving it back, taking it in, giving out, giving free film if you do more than 10 or something. Anyways, she said, I'm going to give you a car. I said, what? She gave me a 1972 Volkswagen blue with a stick shift. Can you see that? It was my hippie mobile. So I brought my tzatzas in there, hung it up, blessed the car with incense, have Geshe-la come and bless it. And you know, it was a fabulous car. It was blue, it was wonderful. I'd be playing all types of music, and I'd be riding all over LA. It was my Dharmobile, it was my funmobile. I went to all the clubs, I had all my friends stuffed in there. There were so many of us stuffed in that little car. I don't know how I even moved or how we fit. And she just gave me this car, no condition. She paid for the insurance. She paid for the insurance. I didn't have even one accident. I had one teeny one where someone hit me behind me lightly because I was at a red light. The guy was drunk or something. Hit me very lightly, but no damage. I never had any. I was very careful because it's not my car. And I rode this car all over the place. I moved into the center, and that's part of the reason I'm here, that she gave me this car. And I talked to her a few months. I talked to her a few weeks ago, and I thanked her. I said, you know, Mamie, part of the reason I'm giving Dharma teachings today, and I think I'm helping people today, and I think I'm able to change a few people's lives today is because of the help you gave me. She says, why is that? I said, because you believed in me. So I'm repaying your kindness back now. How? By not giving up. There are times I want to give up. There are times there are monster students, monster sponsors, monster demands, monster people, monster. And I just want to give up. I'm telling you, you know what? Stay in samsara. See you later. Ooh, I want to say that so bad to some people. And you just want to give up. And I think about my gurus. I think about Mamie. I said, no, she didn't do all this for me to give up. And if I want to thank her, I have to thank her with results. So I always call her up and tell her what I'm doing. I'm like a little child when I report to her. I actually report to her like a little child. I always call her up and I tell her, guess what? We're buying this building. Guess what? We expanded. We bought this statue. We're going to Nepal. Oh, guess what? We opened up this outlet. Guess what? These students have joined. Guess what? This weird French lady from Nepal joined us. I tell her everything. I just like a little kid. And when I'm in her presence, I feel like a little kid. Because when I met her, I was a little kid. And I was a nobody, a nothing. I still am. But I was a bigger nobody that time. And she treated me with so much love and affection. And so pure. And she used to give me things all the time. The advice she gave me. A lot of things I give advice to people now comes from her. Things she learned from Lama Yeshe and Geshe-la and His Holiness. Sarumji too. So my point is, I always call her up and I tell her what I'm doing and what's happening. Not to get praise. There's nothing else. There's no other way I can repay her kindness. No other way. And I don't want to keep saying to Mamie, thank you, thank you. I write her cards or I send her gifts and I say thank you, thank you. It's not enough. It's just empty words. I have to have results, you know. I have to have results. And I even tell Mamie, guess what? I don't get as angry as I used to, and I tell her examples and people and situations. I tell her everything. She's one of the few people I tell everything to. And I offer that back to her. And I tell her. I said, I'm telling you all. And she loves it. I talk to her 3-4 hours. She says to me, I said to her, I'm telling you all this to repay your kindness. She said to me, did I do so much for you? I said, you did. She did. I'll write about it in my book in the future. So my point to you is we need to thank people for what they have done, not with empty thank yous, with improvement, with change, and with transformation. If we have a beautiful mother or a stepmother like Mamie, like I had, I didn't have a real mother. But I had a stepmother, a wonderful mother, like her, a Dharma mother. If you have a wonderful father, if you have a wonderful friend, if you have a wonderful person who gave you a teacher, a school teacher. Right now, I talk to my friend in America named Janet. She's my Dharma sister. We took initiation together over 25 years ago in New Jersey. So I called her last night. I had a long talk with her. And I told her to find my art teacher in Lando Pines School. I had an art teacher who, when I was young, I got beaten a lot. She used to talk to me, advise me, help me. Her name was Miss Gerber. Oh, my God. What a fabulous lady. She's a fabulous. In my whole life, I don't know what it is. Always women help me. Even up to now, always women. Always female energy help me. Always. I mean, men, of course, help me. But I'm telling you, really pivotal is really women. In any case, this art teacher was really wonderful. Because when I used to get beaten a lot from my step-parents, quite a lot, I had nobody to talk to. So I go to art class, you know, really sad and depressed. She'd say, what's the matter? And I told her. And then I would tell her all the ugly things that my step-parents used to yell at me and tell me. That I would never have friends and I'm selfish and on, just went on. And I told her. And she just cut it off by saying, listen to what people say about you because they're really talking about themselves when they shout at you. And I was like, oh my God. It hit me very deep, very profoundly. And it made me let go. And it made me actually feel sorry for my stepmother. Not in a condescending way, because I felt, yes, she is shouting about herself. I examine it. It is exactly what she's shouting about herself to me. The fear she had, the pain she had when she was a child, because she was abused. And I realized, and that helped. It didn't change my whole life, but it started to change. And I remember she would give me advice like that and talk to me, take time away after class from her schedule. And she was a wonderful art teacher. Even I draw Buddhas. I once draw a cartoon of a Buddha. Where it had 6 frames. It was an 8 A4 paper, 6 frames. I drew a man and did the next frame because she told us draw something to express something that doesn't have words. So I went home and said, okay, what would I draw? A flower blooming? I said, boring. So I drew a man and then I draw him going to a cave and cutting his hair. And next one, I drew seasons. You know, I draw 4 slots with snow, rain, sunshine, snow, rain. And next slot, I drew the man with longer hair and calmer. The next one, I drew the man with some light. And the last one, I drew the man with light around him and a deity. I made up a deity in the sky and a light connecting with the man with the deity. That was in my own little imagination. I drew that. And I showed it to my auntie. I showed it to my friends. They were like, what's that? Are you a Krishna? I said, oh, jeez, I'm not a Krishna. I'm trying to express what I don't know. I just got that in my mind that that's what I want to achieve in my life, one with this deity. So I showed my friends, they asked me if I'm Krishna and stuff, they were teasing me about that, you know. And I showed my art teacher, Miss Gerber. I said, and I was just going to, she went, she looked at, she said, I understand totally. She explained to me. I was like, oh my God. I used to think she was a Buddhist. I don't know what she was, but she was such a fabulous person. And I'm looking for her now. So I asked my friend Janice, because we went to the same school, same teachers. I asked her last night, in fact, to look for this teacher. And I hope she's alive. I hope so. And I want to send her gifts, and I want to send her a card, and I want to tell her the difference she made in my life as a kid. So my practice now isn't just, oh, money, 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 money. No, no, no. That's only part of it. My practice now is to remember the kindness that I've received and to repay it back. And that comes from where? That comes from the mind training teachings. That comes from the mind training teachings based on Geshe Langri Tangpa. So just yesterday I was calling up, I was finding out, I've been trying to find her for years. We need to acknowledge people who have been kind to us. We need to acknowledge people who have done things for us. We need to acknowledge people who have contributed to our lives. We cannot hide from our failure and avoid people that have helped us. We cannot. Do you know why? We can hide from them, but we can't hide from ourselves. And when we allow ourselves to do that, we do more and more and more and more and more. And it doesn't stop. And when we do more, emotional pain and problems come from that. Not to mention karma. Not to mention karma. I'm not focusing on karma right now because we're not really convicted on karma yet. But let me focus on what your conviction is. Emotional problems and pain and suffering. So when we allow ourselves to avoid people that have helped us, and we don't improve, we don't push ourselves, we don't become better, and we avoid people that have helped us, and we don't want to see them, we don't want to contact them, and we're afraid and we hide, we make ourselves become more and more worse. Do you know why? Because we can't hide from ourselves, and we know what we're doing. Karma or no karma, never mind. We know. And when we know and we keep doing it, we allow it, do you think it becomes better? It doesn't become better. It's worse than the prison. It doesn't become better. So what we need to do is we need to meditate every day for a few minutes on one person or another person who've helped us on different aspects and different ways, many ways. From that meditation, I can teach you on how to develop bodhicitta. From that meditation alone, based on Shantideva's Bodhisattva Charavatara texts, Shantideva's Bodhisattva Charavatara texts, I can teach you how to transform your minds completely into having all-embracing compassion for everyone based on that meditation alone. Definitely. And I'm giving you current examples combined with my own life and examples based on the scripture of Bodhisattva Charavatara, Chunjuk, we say in Tibetan, based on that text. I will not make this up. I will not simply come here and tell you graciously, oh, you know, you should forgive, you should let go, you should thank people. What's the point? It's from that beautiful text. That text changed my life, and it changed my life. It talks about the kindness of others and why we should think about the kindness of others and how the kindness of others and reflecting upon it makes us become enlightened, makes us let go, makes us forgive. So on this little meditation that I just shared with all of you, I do, and I respectfully request you all to do, I promise you, you will be able to develop all-embracing compassion with time through that meditation. To remember the kindness of others, and not once, not twice, again, and go one step further, repay their kindness. Repay their kindness by fruits, by flowers, by cards, by beautiful words, and that's on a normal level. On an ultimate level, repay their kindness with transformation. Because they helped you for you to improve. If they help you, you become worse. What's the point? They didn't help you to become a monster. They didn't help you to become worse. They helped you to become better. So when you become better and better and better, the people who helped you will be inspired to help other people. It's very selfish when people help us and we don't change. You know why? For high-level beings, it doesn't matter. But for normal beings that help us, we give them a message, if you help people, you don't get result. And then they won't help people. So when we keep disappointing people, lying and not doing and not pushing and no effort, we give a message to people that's very selfish. Normal people like me and you, that we keep helping and we keep getting disappointed, we stop helping. We become cold. We become withdrawn. We become suspicious. Do we want to do that to a person who can help many people? Is that the message we want to give to people that can help to many people? Even in our own lives with our mothers, with our fathers who've helped us so much, and if they ever stop helping us, and they can help us and they don't, it's a clear signal to us they're very hurt and disappointed by us. They're very hurt. Why are they very hurt? When they can say no to the one person they love so much, and they don't want to give you, and they want you to suffer, it means you've hurt them very badly. You've hurt them. Why? How can we say no to our precious little darling prince and princess? Mothers can give their lives for their kids. That's how kind mothers are. That's according to Shantideva. According to Shantideva, mothers can give their lives for their child. So she can't give her money, she can't give advice, she can't give a home, she can't give food. Of course she can. If she doesn't, it means you've hurt her very badly. You've disappointed her tremendously. How do we develop compassion for all sentient beings? And that's a quality that's necessary for Buddhahood if we can't even repay the kindness of a few people who have done so much for us. So do we want to keep going back and telling my mother, I failed, I lost my job, I need more money, my wife ran away, my kids won't talk to me, my husband ran away? Do we want to keep doing that? We want to keep going back to my lover, to our lovers, and say, oh, you know, sorry, blah, 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 sorry, I did this, sorry, I did that, blah, and over and over and over again. Is that how we repay people's kindness? If we repay people's kindness like that, definitely our tantric practice and our meditational practices cannot bear fruit. Why? It's connected. It is totally connected. I'm giving you Dharma teachings here. I'm not giving you meditational techniques, step one, step two, step three, step four. It doesn't help you right now. I'm giving you Dharma teachings from the heart, teachings that affect the heart, teachings that make us hopefully think deeper. I'm teaching you guru devotion. And I'm breaking down guru devotion into two categories. A, forgive. B, repay. Forgive harm. Repay kindness. Forgiving harm and repaying kindness will make your mind free. Will make your heart free. Will give you peace. And will help you to have the mental strength to endure any difficult situation. Any difficult situation. And from any difficult situation, which we all have to experience, that's life. There's no way we can separate from separation, from death, from sickness, from old age, from poverty, from stress, from misunderstanding, from anger. There's no way we can separate ourselves from that. No way. Since there's no way to separate ourselves from that, since that's the nature of our existence. Therefore, the second best remedy is to learn how to deal with that. And the best way to deal with that is that when that comes across to us, we don't create more from that interaction. I've created a lot of pain for other people through my negative reaction. I'm creating much less now. And I told you again, my goal is to make it next to none or nil. Yeah, that's my goal. Why should I be embarrassed? That's my goal. Make it nil. Because I'm going to experience this. The Dalai Lama has experienced so much pain in his life and disappointment. I'm a big disappointment to the Dalai Lama. Look at me. He's given me so much teachings, initiations, and practices. I've received so much from him. I cannot go to him and say, I have this attainment and that attainment. I'm ashamed. I am ashamed. I'm definitely ashamed. Sometimes I'm ashamed to face Mamie. Sometimes. I'm ashamed to face some of my gurus. Why? I know me inside. Zero attainments. But I've received the highest from them. Highest. Either they're wrong or I'm wrong. It must be me. It cannot be all of them. Lati Rinpoche has clairvoyance. Kensa Rinpoche has held his monk vows for the last 70 years purely. The Dalai Lama can reincarnate back life after life, no problems. So either they're wrong or I'm wrong. Obviously it's me, what? I can't reincarnate. I don't have no control. When I drop dead, it's like throwing a needle in the haystack. Where? So you use logic. I'm giving you teachings on guru devotion tonight. I'm sharing you teachings that I've received, and I'm bringing it to a level and a perspective that we all can latch onto. I'm not giving you the devotional side. Why? The devotional side is empty if there's no transformation. What's the point? You offer flowers to your guru, you lick his feet, you wash his body, you cut his toenails, you give him millions of dollars if you yourself don't transform. So I'm giving you guru devotion. What's the guru devotion practices in Tibetan tradition? To receive teachings on the mind, to receive methods on the mind, to receive inspiration on the mind, and to transform this mind and to have real guru devotion, to find a guru that gives us real guru devotion. What's real guru devotion? Real, real guru devotion. Forgive and repay kindness. And increase that volume and make it bigger. If you got fine hair, you got shampoo to volumize it. If you have fine mind, you have the Dharma to volumize it. Don't just make your hair thicker and more volume and bouncy. Make your mind forgive and let go. And never, ever stop repaying others' kindness. Never. Each time you give a gift, it's to repay people's kindness. You say, well, when do I ever end my debt? It's not a debt. It's a continuation. For me, it's a continuation of my guru. It's a continuation of Mamie. It's not a debt. I don't think of it as a debt that I have to pay. It is a continuation of their motivation to bless me with their presence in my life. It's a continuation. And by doing this for others, may I become a Mamie. May I become a Song Rinpoche for others. And that this will continue in their lives to other people. And that one by one, by one, by one, that's how we create world peace. By starting here. That's why Buddhist teachings are extremely applicable today to modern people who are educated like all of you. The approach I'm giving you is what? It's not psychology. It is psychology. It's religion, but it's not religion. It's asking for the blessings of the Buddhas, but it's asking for the blessing of the Buddha inside of you. So it's very approachable. This is one session. Some of you today, your mind have changed. And you say, yeah, I'm going to do that. And I'm very happy. I can repay your kindness. Because if we go one more step, all of you have been my mothers at one time or another. All of you have shown me kindness in a previous life, I'm sure. And some of you have shown me much kindness in this life. So I can repay this kindness back. Not as a debt, as a continuation. And then we have guru devotion. Isn't that what a real guru wants? Isn't that what real yidams want? Isn't that what a real Dharma protector wants? Isn't that what the Dakinis and Dhammapalas and Dhaka and Arhats and Shravakas and Pratikayas want? Isn't that what we want? So therefore, you have read this beautiful book on guru devotion. Beautiful, fabulous. And its words and its experiences, I want to bring it to the next level. I want to translate it to your higher intelligence to say there's more to guru devotion than what you just read. And I changed the subject from last month and the month before. Remember, the 12 links of interdependent existence? Most of you was like, oh my God. Many of you found 101 ways to try to avoid the teachings, but there's no way because there's evil Rinpoche that send nasty SMSs via other people. Where are you? But this month, I decided to give your mind a break, a reward. What's the reward? To know the essence of the Dharma. The essence of Dharma is to forgive and to repay kindness. That's what real guru devotion is about, you know? That's why we take a guru, to teach us and to share with us this, not to be stuck on it. Of course we can be devoted to our guru. People who help and assist the guru, you know what's the purpose? Is that they can reach more people. They can help more people. They can help much more people. Look, I've been put on the YouTube. It wasn't my idea at all. I mean, if I thought of it, I'd be proud. I said, yeah, put me on, I'll pretend I'm humble. That wasn't my idea. Even getting myself on an internet, on a website, all that, I'm into it now, but it wasn't my idea initially. I was actually against it. I didn't know if they get my right angle. I'm very conscientious of my right angle because I got a bigger cheekbone on one side and the other. But I'm not going to tell you which side it is because you're going to start looking. You know, they asked Sophia Loren once, she's fabulous with a new calendar of 71, let me tell you. Anyways, they asked Sophia Loren once, what's the flaws in your face? She says, I'm not going to tell you because once I tell you, you're going to look for it. I said, oh, that's a good trick. So I've learned that from Sophia. Never tell people your flaws because then once they know, they'll be like, oh, yeah, that's right. I know there's some people like, which side? On which side? Yeah, it wasn't my idea. But someone had the idea and they put it on. I can't take credit. And then I get all kinds of responses all over the world and all types of weirdos with pink hair flying in to listen to Dharma teachings now. Yeah, all kinds of weirdos and freaks. I'm honored. I'm honored that these people will come and listen. These people from abroad and these people nearby, I'm honored. I never thought I could have such great pleasure to repay kindness to people. I really feel that. I really feel that. In any case, my point is the internet and all that is another way to repay kindness. That is the purpose of our life at this moment. And we should meditate on this all the time. And we should read this. And we should be enthusiastic about reading it because these are real people. They're just like you and me. They have real experiences. And they come across their great lamas, and the great lamas have taught them beautiful things, fabulous things, wonderful things. And they may or may not be our gurus, it doesn't really matter, but the experience is exactly the same, the human experience. So therefore, what is this teaching about? What's today about? It's our book club. And today's book club is about experiences of other people and guru devotion and the inspiration they receive from their gurus. And some of you might have thought, oh, we're going to get a whole teaching and do's and don'ts about how we can act with the Tibetan Lama, how we can. Now, I'm not giving you any of that. You're not Tibetan, and I'm not an authentic Tibetan Lama. I told you I bought my certificate. Oh, I better not say that. Then Koki will go and buy his certificate. Then I'll be like, oh, well, I got to move over. You see big Koki on here and there? My side will be like that. His side will be like that. Isn't that evil? That's right. I made a notation in a few places that struck me very strongly in my reading. And I've combined those. What I love on this is here. Number 35, page 35 by this lady, Dominique. And a second paragraph, page 35.
A matter of waiting till everything's perfect or things are better or things are fine to practice. It's, you know, it has to be, you know. Has to be now. Everything, my priorities needed to change dramatically.
And do you feel that your priorities needed to change because of those experiences you had that was quite dramatic, and that how you handled it, you weren't happy with that, or how it made you feel, and you weren't happy with that, and therefore you want to feel differently?
Yes, I think the way I handled the situations that happened.
And how also you felt.
Yes,
not just necessarily your negative in handling, but also how it made you feel and how intense it was.
Mm.
It could have been different.
Mm. And I think also at the time I just went, well, you know, it's fine to think that your Dharma practice is going well when everything's going well.
Are you in this book?
Sorry?
You're not in this book, are you? You're great. I'm not kidding. You're great. You're very open. You don't know any of us. I don't have the right to ask you all this, but you're just very open. Okay, go ahead. Anne?
So yes, so that it's, you know, it's very easy to think that your Dharma practice is fine, which I you know, kind of felt that it was coming along nicely, and then
until
everything just fell apart for me. A bunch of things kind of happened in succession, and I think the bottom just really fell out of my world, and. Yeah, so it was, and I was in quite a spin for quite a while, and then I just got to the point where I went, well, it's, you know, time to put my money where my mouth is, and you know, this is what it, you know, can
are
I really
Are all of you in
really
Australia like that? I want to go there.
Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe all like that because I'm not getting too much some places. And?
So yeah, and I also kind of figured that I was, you know, pretty much rock bottom as well, and that it was a good time to be on that kind of side of the fence and really look at teachings from a different perspective, and you know, go, okay, well, is this do I really believe this? Is this the way things really are? And if it is, then how do I get out of this?
So it's not just a practice, but you want to say, well, do I really believe in this? And do I want to go to the next level? Because right now it's not helping me, but it's supposed to help me. So either it's wrong or I'm not applying it more. So you come to number two, which is I'm not applying it more and I need to do more. And therefore you changed your work around, your schedule around, and your priority around so that you can stop this pain long term.
Yeah.
And that's why you're engaged in Dharma practice, correct? What a good reason. But wouldn't it be, most of us engage in Dharma practice, including me, because of that. But be wonderful while things are all right if we engage in real Dharma practice. So when things become not all right, it still is all right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you believe that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that was it. I think when things weren't okay, I wasn't in any position to have any clarity of mind or any... You know, I just completely lost the plot, so I wasn't really much use to myself or
Did you think about suicide?
Else. I quite often wondered why I got up in the mornings for quite a while. Yeah. It was very hard.
How have you adopting some of Dharma's teachings into your life? Brought benefit to yourself and people around you so far?
Well, I can't really speak for anyone else. I don't know if I've benefited anybody else. But I think my priorities have changed a lot. When you were speaking about kind of anger before, I notice a big difference, you know, say...
You were an angry person?
3 years ago. I have a huge temper.
You do?
Yeah.
You don't look like it at all now.
Mm. It's a Hungarian volcano in me, I suppose.
It's okay. I'm a Mongolian eruption. And?
Yeah, so...
Thank you for sharing. It's very private, and I'm sorry, but I appreciate it.
Okay.
Go ahead. No, it's really private. You know, we don't know each other. So you're a Hungarian volcano,
yes.
And you might be part Mongolian, you know.
Well, yes. I suppose.
You know about Hungarian history. They've been invaded, yes, by the Mongols, and a lot of them stay there, and they've intermingled.
Mm-hmm.
Zsa Zsa Gabor.
We're not related, tells, no. I don't
no, know, no, so. But she always tells people, look, one of the Mongols grabbed my grandmother, that's why I got these cheekbones. She used to say that on Merv Griffin.
Uh-huh.
Mm, then?
There's just little things that I notice, you know, in my life.
Are you
life.
Happy with those things that you noticed?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why? I don't want you to look bodhisattva or good or fabulous. Just tell me why.
No.
Why do you feel better about that? About, especially about your temper that you claim you had?
Because I know I'm not causing more damage to myself and to other people.
Mm. Isn't that what really...
I just noticed that people around me, the more I work on myself, which isn't much, dramatically the people around me change. You know.
Oh, because
so, you know,
because you feel that you've applied yourself and calmed down more.
Mm.
And as a result of that, you feel that people around you have changed.
Yeah, I do.
Mm. Have they said to you, you're different?
No, I don't think so. They all say I'm still crazy.
Crazy?
They go, oh, you're going to come back from Malaysia in robes, aren't you? No, no.
I can help you. I can help you. I really can give you a set of ropes if you want, but I wouldn't want to cut off your nice hair.
Oh, that's okay.
No, I wouldn't want to cut off your nice hair. I like it. You're quite, I don't know how to describe it. You'll be a perfect Dharma practitioner. That's my gut feeling. You're not afraid to be different. And I know that's a little cliche, but I mean it. Your hair tells it all. Yeah, it's not even the color or anything. It's just, well, part of it's your job too. You got to be a little funky, right? You can't look exactly like a Gary Larson housewife. You know what they look like with the rimmed glasses and a nose.
True. Well, a lot of stage managers do, though, I suppose.
Hmm. Mm. And so, have you ever done any retreats? Official sadhana retreats.
Not really. I've done a money retreat.
Oh, wonderful.
That was a
When you say money retreat, what do you mean? You did actually did the sadhana of Chenizik?
Yes.
And then you did a mantric recitation, 4 sessions a day?
Yes.
With a group?
Yes.
100,000?
Yes.
How long did it take?
It took me a very long time. Everyone else kind of finished within retreat time.
Doesn't matter. I was slow.
And I made it about a week or so after.
Wonderful. That. So you focus on Avalokiteshvara, Chenizik for 1 week,
uh-huh.
Did the sadhana, forearm Chenizik.
Hmm.
Wonderful. Did you like that?
Yeah,
or you found
it
torturous?
Fantastic. At first it was very torturous and I was wondered why I was there. And
you wonder why you were there?
Whose idea it was and how they talked me into it.
And yeah. who you can choke after the session
yes.
finished.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then when did that start to transform? Midweek?
Something like that, yeah. It was around the time I kind of noticed when we're in a session and you're doing your compassion mantra, and there was a guy sitting next to me who was breathing really loudly. And
the guy next to you was breathing down your back that loudly?
He was breathing strangely and gulping, and I was thinking,
maybe he was excited about you. I mean, you're attractive, why not?
I have no idea, but I wanted to strangle this guy. And then I just had to, and I kind of remembered that I'm sitting there going,
you know what?
And I'm thinking, can you shut up? I'm trying to do my compassion mantra.
Okay. That's so funny. You go, Omani Vellum, shut up. Omani Vellum, shut up. Omani Vellum, shut up. Oh, shut up, shut up, shut up.
Yeah, so I'm strangling you. But just
and?
So, yeah, so that was probably about midweek when I cracked. And
you
and
cracked?
And then loved it.
And what did you love about it now that, what? And did that, after you cracked, did that guy breathing still disturb you?
No, I kind of found it funny after that. Mm. I didn't really notice so much. Well,
same situation, different perspective.
Mm.
Mm. Was he doing his mantras or just breathing?
I don't know.
No, because I went to visit one of my teachers in Nepal 10 years back, something like that. It was just a visit. He made me stay for 3 months or 2 months or something to do one retreat after another. And we were put inside his chapel to do retreat. I was forced into it. I didn't want to, but I did it because I had to get back to the monastery. I had to report back to the abbot. And so anyways, I was put next to this monk, huge. I'm telling you, he was huge. He was a very big monk. And he sat next to me. And when Rinpoche would walk in, there would be one, two. There was Italians, there were some Swiss, all international people, maybe about 10 or 15 of us. I can't recall. About 10, 15 of us doing retreat. And anyway, I was put next to this monk, and he sat right next to me. And he slept through the whole thing, most of it. That was my perception. And when he woke up, he kept eating the dry rice because he was hungry. And I believe why. Because, all this rice, the rice he put in front was actually to mark how many thousands he did, so he moved it over. But he was eating it. It was like, and he'd crack it and make sounds, breaking it and stuff like that. And then a lot of time he'd be sleeping. That was what I saw because he was snoring away. He was sitting next to me like, and I'd do some sounds to wake him up because he got on my nerves. I'd be like, and he'd be like, and then he'd take the rice and start eating it. But oh, okay, I can watch him eat or listen to him snore. I said the food part got on my nerves because we're not supposed to eat when we're doing a retreat. So my tight conventional mind thought. Right? And then when Rinpoche walked in, he'd be there and doing his mantras with his mala. He wasn't eating or sleeping. I'd be like, you little. And then Rinpoche would give, speeches and stuff and talk and explain different whatever, answer questions. And he'd be like, all like, oh, yeah, like. I thought it was so unfair because he was getting, Rinpoche would walk by and smile. And I was like, I'm doing the retreat. I'm doing the mantra. I didn't fall asleep. He fell asleep. Why are you smiling at him? And then later on, I found out he collected money from people to do a 3-year, 3-month, 3-day retreat, and he never did the retreat. Yeah, I found out. And so I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything. I didn't, nothing. But what I realized was I'm going to meet a lot of people like that, and I'm going to meet other people like that. And I'm sure in my previous lives I was like that at some point. And I think in this life I was probably a hypocrite also some points in my life. So how am I going to deal with that? Go report him to Rinpoche, tell him off, tell everybody about him. I decided to let it go. So what I'm trying to share with you is I didn't do a great retreat, but there were people that bothered me. But after I finished the retreat, I couldn't stop crying. I was like, oh, thank you so much. I did the retreat. And a lot of things I can do now is because of the retreats I did that time, some rituals and whatever I need to do for travel. And I was in tears when I finished the retreat. I was so happy. And when we did the fire puja, I was a little itchy and hot because we had to wear the 5 crowns, the hair, the everything, And it was a little hot, but I was very happy. Part of it, I was happy because I can go back to the monastery. Another part, I didn't get my teacher upset, my other teacher, and I didn't have to sit next to that guy. And then after the retreat, I was really, really happy till I found out that I had to go on tour all over North India with him. I was like, but I can't, I don't have time because you're going. But there's a whole new story to that. So I know how you feel. And I guess that's exactly why we need retreats. All these things disturb us. And it's really, why does it disturb us? Where do you want to go with your practice from here?
That's a very good question. I wanted to be more focused. I just before Christmas, I did a short retreat, a study, meditation retreat.
At home?
No, it's kind of in the outback, in the bush.
Oh, really?
In New South Wales. It's with New Diamond Mountain University in Australia.
Oh, wonderful.
There's one in America. So they've just started. So it was their kind of first semester, the study intensive there. And so we all had to do three subjects. And one of the ones that I enrolled in turned out to be something completely different than what I imagined. But it was basically the guru-student relationship and qualities of a teacher. And,
wonderful.
And
so it was a study retreat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How many days?
10 days. And that
Didn't feel restless. You didn't feel restless during the retreat?
I had a lot of resistance to it. I really wanted to go. I was I wasn't going to miss it for the world. And I said to my boss that I was going to take some time off. And they said that they'd have to think about it to let me go. And I was certain that I would quit if they, you know, that I was going to it. But then, of course, I got there in the first couple of days. A lot of obstacles came up, and I was really didn't want to be there. And I was annoyed at the person I took down with me. And
I'm never going to go on a retreat with you. Never. You're scary. But
I know I do this. The first couple of days, it's very. I know.
You're probably a secret serial killer.
Maybe.
I'm never going to go on a retreat with you. No, I'm going to wake up with you on top of me strangling you. You snore and you breathe funny.
I only think it.
I know,
and
me
then
too.
I
only think it.
The second night, we had a massive storm and my tent got washed away and I was like, that's it.
You're getting out of here.
I'm out of here. But I didn't. I stayed and it was fantastic.
Tent got blown away. Okay.
Washed away. It rained.
Oh, washed away.
Yeah. With me in it. So
with you in it?
It just...
While you were in it, was being all this water was coming.
Uh-huh.
Ooh. How interesting.
So, the guru yoga stuff really made had a deep
impression.
Impact.
The teachings on guru
with
yoga.
Me. Felt like it changed my direction a little, and then I coincidentally came home off retreat, and then had the email that your video had come up. Was up there with the guru and student relationships. So, and I watched those, and they were really beautiful. And it was about that time I thought, actually, I think I'll have to go to Malaysia. So back to your question, practice. I need to not be so lazy and slack. I'm a little stubborn and I think I'm at a point where I realise that I could do with some advice and some help and to seriously get my ass into gear and be focused. And
you talk my language. I like you. I use colourful language too. I just don't dye my hair pink, but I'm colorful.
Sorry if I offended anybody.
Oh, nobody's
anybody.
Offended. Look who teaches them. Take a look. You think anybody here will be offended by that little nasty A-R-S-E? Take a look at me. You see, when I throw a BF in private without the camera on, I even curse in Tibetan. What's on your altar at home?
I have a traveling Buddha mm-hmm. that I take with me.
Do you have a home or is it just a tent? You look pretty outback.
I do have a home now. I didn't have a home for a couple of years.
See, you guys thought I was kidding.
Yeah. Yes, I have a home. So I have my Buddha and I have a stupa.
What do you mean you have a Buddha? You have a Shakyamuni?
Yes.
How big? Nice. Where'd you get it from?
A little bit. It was given to me as a gift.
Wow. And you have a stupa and then that's it and you're offering bowls, right?
And bowls, yeah. Mm. It's pretty plain.
It's not plain. It's very nice.
It's pretty, of course.
I'm sure it is. Do you like your little altar?
Yes, I do.
当中今年三百一万的，咱那中国可能干嘛的？结巴结账，卡达，结卡达，江西人，江江苏今年三百一万的，咱那中国可能干嘛的？结巴结账，当中抓不起，当地没人，江西人就留不起，马家班的几个起，结巴那边白白养，国内国内白花少，当地的话留不起，马家班的几个起，结巴那边白白养，去一家到中华，去去那边白花，给几千块钱，当，最近妈妈他们说，当当就，这个就你妈的，结巴老三抓不起，电报有人帮助。
You will do many more intense retreats in the future. You will go further. That's a promise. You will not give up. You're mature enough to know what you've gone through and everything that you've seen. You will not give up. You will reach a point you know nothing else matters. You're feeling that now. I'm very happy to have met you. And I'll do what I can to spiritually advise you. You will make headway in your retreats in the future. That's a promise. You will make headway. You will receive positive signs. That is a promise. I want to offer a gift to a spiritual practitioner, one to another, for you to remember what I said and to persevere and to push and to advance in your practice. I'm going to offer you my medicine Buddha, which is what you've been having. You've been meditating on. That's your practice. I've had this with me for a while. It's been here in our little meditation hall on YouTube. So I'm going to offer that to you as a gift from me to encourage you to continue and to keep doing retreats and doing practice. You will get results. And you will not have to depend on anyone. You will get it. Do you understand? I don't need anything back from you. Just do your practice. Don't take that off. Keep it on. It's a short distance. It's a little dusty because it hasn't been moved, but it's for you. Yeah. Yeah, go give to the lady. Good. Medicine Buddha goes home. He's been waiting for you. You're very welcome. Put a cushion nearby so Medicine Buddha can sit next to her. Come receive it. Yes. Isn't he beautiful? You're not a saver. You're not someone that saves. You don't think much. You've had a lot of financial hardship. And then before you go back, I will meet you and I'll pass some wonderful Dharma books for you. And you can just voraciously eat them up. And you can read them. Why? You will go to the ends of the earth for Dharma and to seek Dharma and to apply your effort to Dharma. And I'm someone along the way who just drops by, and I want to offer to your spiritual practice because someone did that for me many years ago. Someone's done that for me all the time. I want to do that for you. Just pass on the buck. Be happy. The gift is a culmination of your merits. He's been waiting for you. I never thought about giving that to anybody, nobody. It's one of my favorites. But you've been sending psychic greedy messages out to me. Without knowing it. And be happy. Work. Do more retreats. Study. Apply. You will definitely get results. Definitely. That is for sure. And in your retreats in the future, you will receive signs. Don't do it for those signs, because signs don't mean anything anyway. But you will receive signs. Very nice. And do your beautiful medicine Buddha practice every day. Every day do your medicine Buddha practice. Take refuge. It's complete. Is that nice? Yes. We'll help you pack it up. Get you a bag and all that stuff so you won't be stuck. That's good. That's good.